Good evening, friends. The report of General Marshall a few days ago to the effect that civil war in China seems unavoidable is a melancholy document. A united and democratic China could be the nucleus of a new world order in Asia. A divided China is an ill omen for the future. Both communists and nationalists are dominated by agrarian elements. There is no prosperous middle class in China as there is in this country, around which a national revival can center. The communists of North China are quite different from the Russian communists in that they aim to encourage peasant ownership of the land, whereas the Russian communists from the start sought to discourage it. The Russian communists have always based their regime on the urban proletariat, and so far as agriculture is concerned, they have succeeded in almost wiping out individual land ownership in favor of state farms and cooperatives. It was this basic fact, I believe, that had a great deal to do with the decision of the Moscow government to back Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalists. This decision, which was made about a year ago, appeared to make it possible to hope for peace in China. Without Russian backing, it was hard to see how the communists could make a go of it. But this hope has been blasted. Political relations between the Soviet Union and the United States have worsened during the 12 months since the end of the war. And now comes Izvestia, the Russian newspaper, saying that it's no wonder we've been unable to bring about a settlement of the differences between the two Chinese factions because we have backed one side. Now, it's a peculiar criticism to throw at us in view of the fact that the Soviet Union solemnly agreed to back one side. This appears to portend a shift in Soviet policy in China. This has to be related to the increasing tenseness of relations between the United States and the Soviet Union on other matters. Many times on these commentaries, we have expressed the conviction that peace in China depended on one thing more than anything else, and that is whether the United States and the Soviet Union could get along together. The communists in China have no doubt taken courage from the deterioration of Soviet-American relations. They know they can count on a certain amount of Soviet backing, even though they have little in common with the Russians ideologically, simply because China is another place where Soviet and American interests meet. If the unhappy day ever comes when the Soviet Union and the United States clash, it will be, I suspect, in China that that clash will occur. If, as General Marshall predicts, civil war in China is inevitable, then what is our best policy? Well, one answer is to get our troops out of China and let them fight it out. There is indeed something to be said for this. But of course, the catch is that we fear that if we withdraw, the Russians will come in. It may be that some kind of a non-intervention pact could be worked out between us, but that would do nothing to stop civil strife in China. The root of the problem is Soviet-American relations. Last evening, we expressed the opinion on these commentaries that it is time our government took a drastic step to explore the possibilities of new approach to better relations with the Russians. If that could be done, the apparent expectation of both Chinese factions that the United States and the Soviet Union will fight it out would be changed, and the possibilities of peace would be immensely improved. Now, the subjects upon which Burns and Molotov have clashed at Paris have been mostly picayune, matters of little or no consequence. It is the bigger problems which lurk in the background, such problems as the future of Germany, the fate of the Middle East, including Palestine, and the internal problems of China that constitute the real stakes in international diplomacy today. We are not getting anywhere by skirmishing in the outskirts of these central problems. Perhaps we could get further by a conference between Truman and Stalin on these big issues which hold the fate of our future. Good night.